Blog Talk Radio.
Good day to all of you, and welcome. You've tuned in to Life is a Sacred Journeys podcast. My name is Michelle Pope, and I am your host, and I am so thankful for the opportunity to spotlight several topics here at Life is a Sacred Journey. Our goal is to erase the ism of elderly. You know, that term itself, I was just talking to our guest, Anthony Cirillo, who will be joining me at the mic soon. And it's just so interesting how words create this vision for us. I was on our, again, we broadcast this podcast from California. So I was on our local BART system, Bay Area Rapid Transit, and there's a photograph over the seats that are set aside for people who are pregnant, disabled, and elderly, or elder. And the thing that I found interesting about that photograph or the icon that was chosen was it's a senior that's totally bent over. They have a cane, and they're just almost bent over to the ground. And while I got why that had to be so that people could, it's sort of overemphasizing why that seat needs to be held open or given up to one of our elders, it made me realize that this vision that we have of elderhood, this vision that we have of aging, particularly here in America, is one of disability, broken bodies, broken spirits. And, you know, while in fact I know that I work and have had the honor of working here at Alzheimer's Services of the East Bay for the last 20 years, and I know the devastation of memory loss and Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia, but at the end of the day, there's still joy left in our elders. There's still joy to be had in elderhood. You know, I just recently celebrated my 60th birthday in May, and, you know, I am not feeling like this is the end. I actually, on the contrary, I'm feeling like there's so many new beginnings down the road. While I'm realistic in understanding that I may not live another 60 years, because if I do, then I will be a science project, but at the end of the day, I don't want to have messages thrown at me telling me that my elderhood is one that I should expect to be disabled, that I should expect to lose my memory, that I should expect to not to be engaged and involved in the world, and that the world will lose its respect for me and me for it. So Life is a Sacred Journey is set up to talk about all of that. Most recently, I've realized that the isms of the world are the very things that are separating us. And so going forward at Life is a Sacred Journey, while we will always bring tips and ideas and conversation from these incredible professionals around the world that take time out to join me here at Life is a Sacred Journey, I'm going to really focus in on the isms. Because I really feel as a community, as a humanity, if we erase the isms, whether it's racism, sexism, elderism, or any of that, ageism, that we would have a world that was really great for every phase of life, not just for little people, not for us, our millennials, but for everyone. And so that's going to be my goal until I live to be 120, and I just wanted to share that with you. So I also need to share with you that Life is a Sacred Journey is sponsored by Alameda County Area Agency on Aging, and we want to thank them for continually supporting this effort to support caregivers and to support those of us who are aging in our communities in a glorious way, whether we have memory loss or whether we have a disability. So thank you to Alameda County Area Agency on Aging. I'm going to get the show started because I am so happy that I have my friend. I have a friend waiting to come to the mic. Anthony Cirillo, who was on our show back in September of 2016, time flies, and we were talking about embracing the aging experience. And so you can go back and pull that podcast up and actually have 2 hours of Anthony. I need to say that we actually are pre-broadcasting, meaning this is a pre-conversation, and this show will air later in a couple of weeks. But I'm excited, and I am on fire about my friend Anthony, because he is living the dream of really opening up our minds to think about aging and the aging experience in a more fun and a more adventurous way. So let's get started. There are 66 million family caregivers in the U.S. alone. 70% are women, and we know that. 25% are millennials. Yes, here at ASEB, we even have a young man who is 21 years old and is caring for two members of his family while going to college. So the caregiver world is changing and being turned upside down on its axis, because we're living longer, and, you know, someone like me had my children later in life, and so the millennials are a new group that's joining the caregiver scenario and learning more about what their needs are and kind of supporting that. 6 out of 10 caregivers are in the workforce. So we're also looking at sandwich generation caregivers who are working, still sending kids to school, still being parents, but also caring for a loved one. And 40% of our caregivers report some type of mental exhaustion or depression. Imagine if a Caribbean adventure where the caregivers could relax, recharge, rejuvenate. I believe there's also opportunities for learning and meditation and mindfulness training, all of that. What if you were able to go on a Caribbean cruise and have that all at your disposal while you did not have to worry about the person that you're caring about? Well, caregivers no longer have to dream or imagine, because Anthony Cirillo will be hosting the Caregiver Smile Cruise to provide an opportunity for caregivers of all types to gain knowledge, create new friendships, and deepen relationships with other family members and older loved ones. The cruise will travel to Half Moon Bay, the Bahamas, Grand Turks, Amber Cove, Dominican Republic, Aruba. Oh my gosh, I'm going to get Anthony to help me. I'm going to go on that cruise, to mention a few exotic destinations. And so this evening, Anthony is here to tell us more about Caregiver Smile Cruise and bring us up to date on what's happening with the Aging Experience group that he is his brainchild. I know that he works with a lot of other experts to bring it together, but it was Anthony's brainchild. Anthony is a health and aging expert. He's an executive board member of the Dementia Action Alliance and president of the Aging Experience. He is also a former caregiver to his mom, who passed away last year, and I lift her up at 94 years old. He's a professional speaker, and he fell into a mission for elders when he started entertaining. I love it, because one of my favorite pictures from Aging Experience is a group of lovely, wonderful elder women. I mean, these ladies are rocking, and they've got their, you know, their bass guitars, and I just love that picture. And every time I see it, I actually have it right here next to my desk, I think about my first conversation with Anthony Cirillo back in September of 2016, and I just think about how I need to get him on the West Coast to share his passion. He's passionate. He's very passionate about older folks and helping people prepare for aging sooner in life so they can rock it in their older years. I am honored. I am honored, and I am blessed to have my dear friend, and a friend to Life is a Sacred Journey, and a friend to caregivers and elders across the universe, Mr. Anthony Cirillo. So welcome, Anthony. How are you?
I am great, Michelle. Thanks for having me. I hope that we both can become science projects together because I just turned 60 as well at the end of April. So if we can make it another 60, that'd be incredible. You know, there's nothing more that I could do to annoy my mother-in-law, who's 86, to tell her that, oh, you're going to live to 102. And she keeps smacking me every time I say that. But the reality is, the way things are going and the way science is, even if we don't take care of ourselves, which I don't recommend, but we still have a good shot of living a long life.
Well, I tell you what, you know, if the universe grants us that wonderful gift of 120, I promise you we will celebrate our birthdays together. I'll come to your birthday party, and you will definitely come to mine because that will be awesome.
It might take us a while to get there, but we'll have to start early.
Amen. So it's an honor and a privilege to have you back at Life is a Sacred Journey. It's only been a little over, not quite a year, maybe September of 2016, you came on the show and introduced us to this wonderful concept and brainchild of yours called the Aging Experience. And I've been following it, and I've been following you from a distance. We both have busy schedules, and while we had hoped that we would have spoken to each other before now, I just thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to just be here to reconnect and to talk about something that we're both very passionate about, and that's the family caregiver. You know, you're passionate about it. One, you've had an experience with your mom, and my condolences to you for the loss of your mom. But what a wonderful treasure that she was here and blessed us with, and blessed you to live to be 94 years old. So my condolences to you, and just lifting you up around that whole thing. You really experienced your mom's aging, and tell us a little bit about what, you know I just want to reacquaint everybody with you, but what got you passionate about this whole idea that the aging experience should be something that we rock it and not something where we're, you know, all these doom and gloom messages make you want to go slit your wrist once you get a certain age, but you decided we needed to change the dialogue. So just bring us up to date on why that happened.
Sure, and you know, I fell into this a little bit different than others. You know, I was only a caregiver to mom the last maybe 2 to 3 years, and it was more of her health issues. She had no dementia. She had full cognition, and she was a stubborn Italian Catholic woman. So she drove me crazy. But you know, it wasn't her that got me into this because she was already living, she was already rocking her aging years. She was ballroom dancing in her 80s and 2-3 nights a week. So we weren't really worried about her a whole lot as she was aging because she was certainly doing some of the things you need to do to live a purposeful life as you get older. But, you know, I still am a healthcare professional. I started out in hospitals in the Philadelphia area. And of course, you know, in that regard, you encounter, you know, older folks, but I wouldn't say even that did it. But what happened was I was, and the reason the imagery on my site is so deliberate, you know, I have these great women in this rock band, you know, who are rocking the aging experience. And, you know, I was a rock and roller. I was a semi-professional musician at night, been to Nashville to record, have run some songwriting awards. You know, I've been blessed with a beautiful voice. And, you know, you could say that until people hear you, you know, I can't, you know, it's always a subjective thing. But when I got out of all that, I had a gentleman who worked for me in the marketing department of a hospital, and he was also a juggler, you know, juggled things. And he said, you know, there's this whole world of older communities where, you know, they would just love to have your, you know, your expertise and your entertainment. And, you know, we had held some senior events, and of course I got my Sinatra repertoire out and did that. But, you know, it was a, you know, here and there. But when I started entertaining in nursing homes, something switched off, you know, in my head. And, you know, I really, after you do, you know, when you find yourself, without even realizing it, doing more than 100 performances a year part-time, you realize that you're not only getting a lot of fulfillment, you're giving a lot as well. And that's when I really started exploring seniors in a different way and looking at them differently. And that's why I subsequently wrote a book and have really, you know, had a whole theme around this. Because, you know, in the places most that the consumer generally associates with death, and it's the whole conglomerate. If you mention a 55 and over community or a CCRC or an assisted living, the general consumer out there just thinks of them as old age places where people go to die. Older adult communities. Because if you're a young person who has no contact with them, but yet I was finding all these wonderful stories of these seniors who, in the places that the public associates with death, were still living a quality life and chose to live a quality life when their circumstances changed. And so, you know, my book, it was some serendipity, but there was also some strategy around calling it "Who Moved My Dentures?" because
I remember that.
That's right. And the book on the cheese, you know, the cheese book, was about resiliency in the workplace. And, you know, what my book outlined were stories of elders who were resilient in their life. Most of them were faced at some point with having to move into a nursing home or an assisted living. Now, you know, you and I are probably stubborn boomers who are, you know, I make no bones. I love the place I live in. I love my house. We have made more improvements here to make a statement that we're staying here. I keep saying we're going to age in place. We just had our bathroom retrofitted, remodeled and retrofitted so that it accommodates us as we get older with all the whatever, the wider spaces and the colors and the grab bar, you know, whatever it might be. But I may be faced at some point with having to go somewhere else. And right now I think I'll be kicking and screaming. And yet the people I interviewed and have come to become friends with, looked at it with a different lens and act differently, when they got there about how they were going to approach this. Because, you know, in some ways, what choice did they have, you know? So, my mother was one of those. I mean, she, and this is a common story in senior living, especially when you're the family caregiver. I mean, she lived in an independent living community. And, of course, when I would go there, it would be all miserable and gloom and doom, according to her. But if I snuck in before she noticed that I was there, I would watch her yucking it up with, you know, all the other people in there and who's gossiping about who. And I did a segment on one of the TV shows here in Charlotte about bullying and senior living. It actually exists, but one of the managers in one of the places, the senior places down here, said, "Yeah, living in these places is like middle school with wrinkles."
That's a good one. I love that.
So you gotta love that. And mom, though, despite what she would tell me, I think was living a quality life at the end of her life. And I think that's what we all need to do. But yeah, my journey was healthcare professional turned singer in the senior space, and now has kind of brought it all together under this umbrella called the Aging Experience.
And so, you know, you just gave us a little bit I think you've always been passionate about it, because coming from a healthcare background, you also get to see, as I do, the flip side of what happens when caregivers are burnt out, when, an elderly person within a family is going through a health crisis or a cognition crisis. And so from that side of the spectrum, we get to see sort of the stress and how hard that journey is for people. But then, you know, you kind of get to a place as a professional that you go, wait a minute, I think we can eliminate some of this stress. I think that we can share more information with people. And so as you think about, and before we get into the Caregiver Smile Cruise, but when you think about, and you just talked about what you're doing in your own home, and I too have done some of those modifications in my home because I have a very strong desire to live at home to the end. And when I say that, I want my assisted living friends and board and care friends and so forth to understand that's not a ding at what they're doing. There are some facilities that, yes, I question their ability to provide person-centered care, dignified care, but for the majority of those institutions or facilities or communities, whatever you want to call them, they're doing a pretty good job. They're doing their best. But I just feel such a kindred with the home that I have and the way it's my essence. My home is my essence. And so making those practical steps or taking those, practical steps to prepare for aging is really, really important. And so I know you give a lot of tips on your web site. I'm sipping coffee as we go. Aging Experience. that people don't even think about. So can you share some of the practical steps for, our listening family that they can take today to just prepare, even, just the little things that they can do to prepare for their aging odyssey?
So my platform is this idea of educated aging, that people need to prepare for aging sooner. And so when you have millennials, like the person who's working in your office who is taking care of somebody else, hopefully they're also learning lessons about what they need to do to prepare for their own aging. So it's not just about caring for others. It's what lessons am I going to take from all this? And, these are simple, but, again, we ignore them. I mean, the first thing I tell people is that you have to absolutely take care of your physical health because, I've been in nursing homes where people didn't get there because age caught up with them. It was because they didn't keep up with themselves. And so, there's this idea of, I won't take care of myself because there'll be a pill or a procedure or something that will do it for me. And let's face it, medicine is progressing, and some of us are blessed. If I had the genetics of my mother who had COPD and congestive heart failure and smoked up until almost the last year of her life, God forbid, but, and yet lived till 94, she might have been 120 if she hadn't had all those types of things. But, I think people need to understand that how you act and behave in your earlier life is absolutely going to impact your older life. And, you can't go hand in hand without talking about aging without talking about finances. And
right.
That's, we spent years just trying to get people to understand that you need to put money in your 401k, but some people, not all, are coming to the understanding that, that money may not be able to be used when I am, to go on that European vacation when I get older. I might have to be chipping in to pay for my health care. And, we see what's transforming in our society with health at the moment, and you don't want to get me on a political discussion because that wouldn't be appropriate. But,
but neither one of us, but I'm with you. I understand.
Right. Healthcare, people should be very concerned because, I'm on the board of a local health clinic, and we serve the underserved and the underinsured and those with no insurance. And, we may find more people in that boat. I'll give you an example. My wife and I, since she left corporate America and we're not Medicare eligible, we're paying over $2,200 a month for our health insurance. And with $7,300 deductible plans, if you do the math, that's $40,000 before anything gets paid for. And so that's scary. And that doesn't include your long-term care and how do you pay for that, which I know you're intimately familiar with. So we have to understand that financing your aging years is important and that, you have to start saving early. And that's hard. I mean, when people are having kids and have to send them off to college, but I also point to my wife, who's just a stellar example. She was a single mom, raised her son, put him through college, put herself through undergrad and grad school, and yet has saved a great deal in her 401k. But more importantly, she bought long-term care insurance when she was 38 years old as a voluntary benefit at her employer. And she never lapsed in the insurance payment. And so her payments are what some are for a year or what some people pay in, a month. And so you can't ignore the financial part. And then, the final part I talk about is emotional aging. And what I mean by that is that what are these lessons that we can learn from our elders? And, I have a whole, talk. I call it The Meaning of Life, where I go through these 8 points that I've learned from elders, from whether it's, continuing to have purpose no matter what how your circumstance in life is, to social supports, to lifelong learning, all kinds of things. And, the bottom line, one of the biggest things I've learned is the importance of gratitude in life. And I think that's one of the most important traits I've learned from all the seniors I've been around, because no matter what their, circumstance, gratitude, and I go to bed every night and I just practice this, and I think others could too. I think of 3 things I'm grateful for during that day, and thank God for them. Today, one of my gratitudes will be I'm grateful for you, for our friendship, for having this show, for getting the voice out of care of the caregiver and our elders. So, they're maybe not as practical as retrofitting your house for aging, but that's certainly practical steps and getting your living will and advanced directives done so that, you'll see, the millennials, even with the health insurance, the debate that's going on right now, it is all about who's insured and who's not, and insuring younger people with affordable plans. But most, if they don't have to, some of them are opting not to. And so, what happens if something happens to them? Not just financially, but have they thought of having a will or an advanced directive or medical power of attorney? These are not things that you wait for until you're older. These are things you have to put in place. But, I'm guilty as charged. I've only recently done those because, when you're married, that's a tough discussion to have with a spouse in terms of, where do you want this to go and that to go, especially if you're like me in a second marriage and you have a blended family. And, it's interesting. They're hard discussions, which not to segue, but it is why one of the reasons I have chosen to have had this cruise and something else we're doing, which is it's a caregiver summit. So we're actually bringing 50 speakers in pre-taped interviews, and it'll drop like a Netflix show in September, where we will cover all of these topics in very fine detail. I believe it's important. That's the goal. We got to start talking about some of this sooner.
Well, and I think what happens is that we get caught up in whatever phase of life that we are, and I think you just said it. Definitely, hands down, we get caught up and we don't think a little bit further out in the lens to see that we need things to have a great kaleidoscope life. I look at the journey, this odyssey of life, and having resources is one. But I love that you're talking about the mental attitude, because I do feel that there are those of us who age differently because we are embracing, everyone says to me, Michelle, you just have such a childlike heart. Now, they're not saying that I'm childish, because that definitely
right.
wouldn't be something that you would, if you know me, that's not a tag you would give me. But what they mean is that I'm always looking for that new adventure. I don't use negative language. I've been trying to say to all my friends, get rid of your negative terms. Start using language that's positive. And that doesn't mean that I don't wake up every once in a while as an ex-runner with a knee that I know that someday is going to have to be replaced. but at the end of the day, I still feel good about it. You know, like you said, that whole gratitude movement and mindfulness around how do I envision this happiness? How do I envision being in a joyful place? And then really pushing, and I know for some of us, it we have to push through. And a girlfriend of mine said it last night, who is, I think, in almost 70, and she said, you got to punch through these moments of doom and gloom. You have to punch through these moments where you feel your body isn't functioning the way that you would, you know, absolutely like it to. And so, you know, you put together and you're hosting. I think I might have to come on this cruise, Anthony. I don't know why you didn't call me now. So you'll be hosting the Caregiver Smile Cruise next January, so 2018, right?
That's right, January 13th to the 23rd.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell us more about it, and then tell us who should come on board other than Michelle Pope, and enlighten us about this cruise so we can fill that ship up.
Sure, and essentially it's a caregiver cruise and / conference. And, you know, there's been other cruises like this. You'll see them more in the deeper dementia space where it can be a respite for the caregiver and they can also bring their loved one along and there's accommodations made for that. I'm taking it more at a 50,000-foot level to where I want people who are perhaps just starting to see the signs, or they may be just starting to be a caregiver, or they may be in the throes of it, and it doesn't mean they're a dementia caregiver. It could be any type of caregiving. I want to be able to bring people together, first of all, for respite, because they need it. They can bring their loved one that they're caring for along as well, no problem there, but I also want them to bring family members as well, and think of it almost as a place to have a reunion, because here's the thing, especially if you're in the early stages of just saying, you know, mom and dad are getting up there, and what are our plans? You know, most people don't have plans. They wait for the crisis to happen. And so what better place than to go on a beautiful cruise to all these great spots and to relax, and you'll pick up some information because we have a great faculty, and, you know, when we're at port, we won't grill you with stuff. We'll have maybe one session, but when we're at sea, we'll have a few more about different topics. But we'll cover all these aspects from preparing to even discussions around death and dying, which are all important. So I'm trying to encourage families who, you know that they can become very estranged over these issues, and each family member has a different point of view about what they like to see to happen, and unfortunately sometimes they ignore what mom or dad still have a capability of choosing want. But nonetheless, I've seen families broken up over this and not talking over this, so why not bring everybody together? And, you know, for many families, it could be a bucket list experience for their mom and dad, whoever always wanted to go somewhere. So, you know, it's a chance to learn, but it's also a chance to relax. It's a chance for respite. It's a chance for families to get together. It's a chance to meet other family caregivers so you have a mutual support network, because I hate to say it, unfortunately, but when we sort of come out of the closet with our caregiving, we find out who our true friends are and who the employers are who really have a culture around, embracing this and helping us. But more or less, sometimes we find out we're out in this ocean, not to use the cruise, by ourselves, and we need a support network. And maybe you'll meet some new friends on this as well.
I love the idea of being in a peer-to-peer situation where you have that aha, I call those the light bulb moments, where you realize you really are not alone, where I remember the first time I have asthma, and as a child I had asthma and grew up with it, and I kept thinking, you know, do other people have to deal with asthma for their whole entire life? And, you know, you think it's only you, and then I went to a seminar and found out there's like a million people in the world that are dealing with asthma, childhood asthma, that they take through their lives. And so, you know, when you find out you're not alone, then there's a comfort that level that comes with that. And then you bond with people and who have had like experiences, but maybe handled the experience a different way. So that peer-to-peer dialogue and just being with people who, when you say the word like, oh, my mom, you know, the other day my mom decided to put her shoes in the refrigerator on the rack. They may not have had that exact experience, but they had an experience similar to that. And maybe a little bit of laughter, you know, and kind of diffusing that high level of stress that we have when we think somebody isn't acting what we consider normal. So I think what you're doing is absolutely amazing. So Anthony, tell us the dates again.
January 13th to the 23rd, 2018.
Okay. And then how do people sign up and kind of give us a sort of a rundown on sort of the cost? Is there an additional cost for caring for the loved one? Or kind of tell us a little bit about that structure so that people can sign up and or start to plan for it.
Sure. So we're waiting to see the types of people that, you know, come on board to decide whether or not we're going to have to make alternate accommodations for others. But right now we're treating it as, you know, everybody will be pretty much able-bodied and you know, we'll work with the cruise ship to accommodate people as the need arrives. And so that's one of the beauties of it is I'm not doing this alone. I'm working with Kathy Schoaf, and she's you know, a travel specialist who specializes in these types of cruises. So it's not her first rodeo, so to speak, though it is mine with this particular endeavor. And so she will literally hold people's hands, and when you book the cruise, it'll be through her, and she will work with people to accommodate. And so all the information is on my website at theagingexperience.com, Caregiver Cruise. The packages, and you have to remember, first of all, this is 10 days, that it's a lot of interesting ports that I've not even been to, and you know, I've traveled around the world. My wife and I have been very fortunate that way, and it includes the conference. And so the you know, prices start at $2,000, and that includes the conference fee as well. And so, you know, the thing is that we really are trying to encourage, I'm trying, frankly, to shame hospitals and health providers into adopting needy caregivers, because I don't think, you know, we pay enough attention to the family caregiver in our health as healthcare providers. And, you know, we need 50 cabins to make a book to make the cruise go, and we can accommodate up to 100 cabins or 200 people for our educational sessions. So that's how big the space will allow. So, you know, just do the math. There's 6,500 hospitals out there. There's how many 18,000 nursing homes and probably an equal amount of assisted living. I only need 100 of them to step forward and say, you know, we need to recognize caregivers more, and let's find somebody who really needs this as well. So I think when you look at it all, it's a very affordable, but it's relatively speaking, because, you know, when you're in the throes of caregiving, that could be a financial burden as well. So, you know, certainly we're trying to offset that by having other ways to be able to pay for it.
And where will the cruise leave from?
It'll leave from Fort Lauderdale.
Okay, so it's leaving from Fort Lauderdale. So that's something too to consider. If you're planning, you know, you need to plan airfare and all of that. But again, Anthony and his team have put together an opportunity for you. And what you can do is just go to the website, Aging Experience, and there's an expert. Not, you don't have to figure this all out. You don't have to go and try to figure out how you're going to get the flight, how you're going to get to and from. There's an expert that is partnered with Anthony to make sure that this is easy for you, that it's something that you can plan for. We're bringing it out at Life is a Sacred Journey, and we will be putting it on the ASEB website, so that we can share, and I will commercial it on future shows, so that those caregivers who are able to get out and go and really have an experience. And if there is a caregiver out there who feels like, you know, this is something that I really want to do, let's get together and talk about it. We have Family Caregiver Alliance here in the Bay Area. I'm not saying that they will fund it, but at least we can begin the discussion where maybe they can provide a subsidy for you, or just give ASEP a call, and we will try to find a resource for you if this is something that you really feel will benefit you and your family. And I love the idea of the fact that it's going to be a mixed population, so you can be a seasoned caregiver and really go and really say, well, you know, I really need the respite, and I need to bring my loved one. I want a little bit of learning, but I need to chill out. Or you can be a caregiver who isn't even a caregiver yet, because, you know, in my world, I think we're all caregivers, because we will be in some form or another. So take this opportunity to learn, to be in a beautiful, I mean, the ports are beautiful places. You know, I found when I went to Bali last year, I thought, oh, this is all new. But when you get to these tropical places where you can really relax, the speed of life is much slower. You begin to then really have an opportunity to be in that place of gratitude, to be in that place of thinking a little bit more succinctly about things, you know, instead of the rat race of the day-to-day. So we're talking again today at Life is a Sacred Journey with my dear friend, Mr. Anthony Cirillo, who is the president and founder of Aging Experience. Anthony is a guest, a second-time guest here at Life is a Sacred Journey, and he's back here today because he has come up, along with all of the colleagues and the people who I know support him and his journey, a Caregiver Smile Cruise. And that's going to take place January 13th through the 23rd in 2008. And you can go to the Aging Experience website and get all the information. There's an expert. Repeat her name again, Anthony. I'm sorry.
Kathy Shoaf, S-H-O-A-F.
Okay, so Kathy will be available to help you and talk you through, make sure that everything that you need to put in place so that you can walk on that cruise and know that everything is handled. So please take an opportunity to go to the website and see if this is something that resonates with you. And, you know, if we can make this first one a success, then, you know, we can begin to think about this being an ongoing opportunity for caregivers and millennials who will be caregivers. This is an opportunity for you to learn. You know, it's a great time to talk about what your life might be like, 10, 15, 20 years from now, as well as for yourself. So I don't want to lose Anthony's voice in this conversation. So I want to talk about with you how much I enjoyed reading about the Meaning of Life course. And so what is the Meaning of Life and what does it cover?
So first of all, I'm so presumptuous, right, to know that I could talk about the meaning of life. You know, we're only halfway through, right, before
right.
our science project. So
that's right.
So again, these come from all simple kinds of notions, but when you actually go to practice them, how good are we at them? And they've all come from, you know, lessons I've learned from seniors who can teach us so much about life. And essentially what I do, I just keynoted the Michigan Assisted Living Association. So I do, and I've done this at Alzheimer's groups, and so my audience is far ranging, from health professionals to the consumer to the caregiver to somebody who has dementia. It's equally enjoyable, and you can learn a lot from it. And essentially, I make 8 points about life, that I've learned from seniors, and each point has a true story connected with it, and then I sing a song around it, and then I actually have statistics and real studies that show that when you follow these points, what it can do to your real age, so to speak. And by the way, I don't know if you did this. But this is just I sort of had to just treat myself to do this. I went to the real age site, you know, that I think
yeah.
it's from ShareCare. so I put
that's
you
why
know,
I
obviously
you because we're so much alike.
So I went through the whole test. Of course, I was just about to turn 60, and I found out that my real age was 51.9. So I was ecstatic, you know.
I hear
but,
that. I did that.
Yeah. Did you do that?
I did do it, Anthony. You know, at the same time, you know, something about turning 60, there were a lot of things that I needed to find out.
There you go.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's an aside. But, you know, this meaning of life, you know, like the first purpose, I talk about a nursing home resident. I'm sure she's long gone because now the books are getting a little bit older. But her name was Ruth Ann, and she was a resident in a nursing home in Charlotte. And I was trying to make the point, and I was telling the activity directors and the executive directors that I need somebody who can exemplify having purpose, because I'm finding out more and more that the power of purpose is just profound. And, you know, that's something caregivers need to keep in mind, too, that as I found out, is that when you're a caregiver, that is your purpose. I mean, I really had to put some of my business aside for the intense time I was caring for Mom. If you kind of view it through a different lens of it's a purposeful journey and you're going to learn something from it and cherish the time, I think it gives you a different mindset. But, you know, Ruth Ann, for example, was president of the Residents Council. She delivered mail. I mean, she just kept herself busy. And we went in her in the courtyard of the nursing home, or what they called her office, and she held court there. And as we're talking, she's telling me, you know, I pray, and this is a woman in her 80s at that time, I pray that every day to God for what my purpose in life is. And it's like, wow. That's the cosmic, man. I mean, you know, that's like crazy. Because Ruth Ann, you have a great purpose, and yet she's still searching for purpose. And what a great role model. And so, you know, and I then sing Leanne Womack's song, I Hope You Dance. Because
love that song.
Yeah, I think it's just a beautiful sentiment. And you know, I tell people how I really solidified my mission. And I may have shared the story of Esther on your show the last time. But, you know, Esther was somebody in an assisted living who became a fast friend of mine and my designated heckler, as I call her. And the activity director asked me to go visit her in the hospital after one performance, and it turned out she was in the CCU unit. She had actually passed and was revived, and she wanted me to sing for her, and she wanted me to sing one song. It was called Because He Lives. Because he lives,
I can
face tomorrow. And the only problem is you know, I said, Esther, I don't know it. And I said, you got to understand, I'm from South Philadelphia. And I said, when we come down the steps at night after we've gotten up, and we have a picture of the Pope or the Lord on one wall, we have a picture of Frank Sinatra on the other. I said, we bow down to Frank every morning, you know. But that's the stuff, type of stuff I've sang. But I learned that song for her, and I put it on a CD, and I thought all was right with the world. And I'll fast forward. The story is much more emotional, but I do have people kind of in tears during that portion of the program, as well as in laughter. The bottom line is I recorded that song for her on a CD, and then Esther did pass, and I don't normally make it a habit, but I went to her funeral for some reason. Something was calling me to do that, and her daughter came up to me, and her daughter was in the hospital room that day when I visited, and said, did you hear about my mother's last day of life? And I said, no. And she said, well, on that last day, we played your CD with Because He Lives over and over again until the daughter knelt down next to her mother and started singing with me, and Esther passed that day. And so, you know, we know we're on a mission, that's not always monetized. You know, when I was a healthcare professional on the hospital side, I was probably making a better living monetarily than I am now on the aging side of things. But anytime I wane in my mission of wanting to educate people about the beauty of our elders and what we can learn from them and the need to prepare for our own aging sooner, I always come back to Esther. And so, you know, the story of Esther is part of the meaning of life. You know, and I make seven other points, whether it's lifelong learning, and I talk about a group called the Raging Grannies, who are a protest group in Seattle, some of who've been arrested.
I know
them. Okay, there you go. And they have people in nursing homes and assisted living who assist with their parody songs and their crazy mini pearl hats and costumes and all that stuff. And obviously, I told you one I talk about, which is gratitude. That I don't even have a story of an elder about that because it's almost transcendental in terms of it transcends all elders. I mean, at least the most of the ones I tend to hang around have this gratitude string that goes on. And so we make, you know, eight different points. The power of social networks, and I sing You Got a Friend, the power of humor, and I, you know, I tell people that, you know, there are places I go to sing in where I call them the polite golf clapping crowd. You know, I go in and you sing your heart out, and even during the program, when I say that part, I have a picture of the green jacket from the Masters, because you know when you talk about the Masters, you have to talk about it as if you're in church. It's the Masters, you know,
right.
and these people are very serious, and they're just way too serious, and they take themselves too seriously. So I have a portion of the program where essentially we're singing the song Rockin' Robin, and I have people tweeting like birds and flapping their wings, and we give prizes away, and it's hysterical. And then this is right before when I had them crying over the story of Esther. So it is in some ways very transformational. When you can do that, especially like I did it the last time, when you have assisted living administrators in the room, and I've done it for hospital CEOs, and when they come out of there knowing that something happened, it's quite a thrill for me, and if I could do nothing, I tell people that, and I will kick off the cruise with the caregiver, with the Meaning of Life program, because I think it's going to be just a great way to establish rapport and people get to know who I am, because I'm very transparent in terms of my journey and what I've been through and my own caregiving, and so I think it's just... it's just a really motivational program.
Well, I am so excited about the cruise. I think that's an incredible opportunity for caregivers, future caregivers. We're all caregivers. Again, I have not had the opportunity to pick up the phone and chat with you since we met back in September, but I've kept up with the website because of the wonderful CD that you sent me after our first conversation together.
Oh, that's right.
I am so honored to share this culture of calling with you to change ageism, to change the way we look at elderhood. We don't look at it from the negative term of this elderly, that picture that I saw on the BART train. And while we understand that the body changes, the mind changes, and all of that for many of us, we're saying as a group of individuals aging in this universe that we need to create opportunities of joy and gratefulness and gratitude and health and just make it so that our lives matter as we age through from infancy until the time that our journey becomes more cosmic. And so my guest today, my friend, I'm honored to say he is my friend, even though we have not met face-to-face, but we have the same kindred spirit. We're both trying to do the same thing, and it's not about money, and it's not about prestige. It's about, you know, making a mark in the world that says aging matters, elders matter, and it can be done differently. So my guest today on Life is a Sacred Journey has been Mr. Anthony Cirillo, my friend, my colleague. Aging Experience is the website that you should go to, and you should get on that cruise. I'm going to try to plan to be on that cruise myself because I think it would be fun to, one, not just meet Anthony, but to be able to just be in that experience with other caregivers and other colleagues. I am, too, trying. We were just talking about the Smile Tour, again, something that you can find on the Aging Experience website, and we will be talking, Anthony and I, offline about how that tour can be brought to the Bay Area, so keep attuned to that. Go to the Aging Experience website, and in the next couple of days, hit up the ASEB website because we will get that information on our website as well so that you can link into the Aging Experience to learn more about this man, this wonderful man, and his call. He's following his passion. He's following his heart. And, again, I am honored to have him as a colleague and somebody that I admire in a very positive way, and somebody who I feel that I'm on the journey with as we move forward in our aging, as well as we're serving the community together. So Mr. Anthony Cirillo, my best friend, one of my BFFs, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule today for the taping of this broadcast. I want to thank you for what you're doing for our elders in the community and in the world. And I mostly want to thank you for laying your heart out, because, you know, everything that I've read that you have written, I know you, even though we haven't sat and had dinner or broken bread together, I know you. You are a transparent being, and you're sharing your heart, but you're also sharing your knowledge and wisdom with the rest of us. So I wish you well, and I'm looking forward. I'm counting on you and I sharing our 120th birthdays together, whether here on this plane or on the other. So
that's
Anthony
right.
Cirillo, I bless you, I bless you, I bless you, and I hope that you can remain empowered and a part of my life and today. Mr. Anthony Cirillo and the Aging Experience. So this has been Life is a Sacred Journey, and I thank you for joining us every single time. I can't believe there's so many listeners out there, and whoever that lone listener is in Poland, I thank you so much. You're showing up, that you're listening in. I don't know who you are, but if you ever want to drop me a message, michelle@aseb.org, I'd love to get to know you and thank you for listening and bringing the message of Life is a Sacred Journey. Anthony, have a marvelous day in the neighborhood.
You too, Michelle. Thank you for everything that you do and for your generosity in spirit and in having me on the program.
And we will talk again offline because I want to make sure that we're promoting everything properly about the cruise. And then we will talk offline again and soon, very soon, about bringing the Smile Tour here to California.
Sounds great.
All right. So, everybody, you know what Michelle Pope always says to you. You cannot expect change but by pointing finger, being angry, blaming other people. Change comes from within you. And so if you change your perspective, if you change who you are, the universe around you will change. And so let's take that out into the universe today as you greet people, as you talk to people. And Mr. Anthony Cirillo, you have a wonderful, wonderful evening. And thank you. Thank you again for being a friend of Life is a Sacred Journey. We'll talk soon. Bye, Anthony.
Bye-bye, Michelle. Thank you so much.
All right. Be well. And I thank you all for joining us again at Life is a Sacred Journey. And be well until we get together again. This is Michelle Pope, and I am your host. Be well.